roll on. More illustrious guests, more baseball talk, more 40 and 30. We are making our way through the main roster, and we have arrived at some of the favorite players, I think, for a lot of you. I know for myself, some favorite players and some favorite people to talk to about it. Very excited about today's guest, somebody I've been meaning to get on the podcast for, I would say, about 2 years, I would say. He was generous enough to invite me beginning of last year, right in the heart of my son being impossible to get to sit still and right through bath time, which was at the time.
I like to wait until my guest is as busy as possible and then try and hook him in. Yeah.
I'm getting you back by getting you in the day you have flown.
Yes.
from shows in Ottawa. We're talking today. You know him from, it's Canadian celebrity time. We have a Canadian comic. Or just a comic. You don't have to say Canadian comic.
That's
a comic
right. That you've thank you.
Probably been to your town, probably been near you if you're listening to this. And as one of the hosts of The Walk-Off, which has been at or near the top of the baseball podcast rankings here in Canada for these many years. I'd say two full years. Like, you guys have had quite a bit of success.
A couple years almost of wild.
Anyway, out there grinding, you can see the podcast, the stuff on their video channel on YouTube. They do this great show where they sort of have a bunch of people on live on Sundays and they throw it around.
Long toss, one of my favorite Zoobs, and we'll get you on there. It's so great to hear so many different walks of life and people and different ideas talking sports. It's fantastic.
Anyway, they do some excellent work over there. Also, they also have a Patreon, so check that out. They've had some great minor leaguers on there. They've had some great Jays prospects on there. They've had some great players on there. Some really fun, exciting stuff on there. I am so excited to welcome to the show today Mr. Scott Belford, or The Beef, as he prefers to be called.
Yes, that's right, The Beef. It's good to be here, Zoobs. Thanks so much for having me, man.
It's an absolute pleasure, and it is all mine. Today, as I mentioned, we are getting into the main roster of the Blue Jays 40-man roster. We are talking about Danny Jansen today, your prohibitive starting catcher, one of two of the catching tandem that has captured our hearts or divided us in a strict one side or the other, depending on which lanes of Twitter you are swimming in. Jano, a guy we know well and have seen come all the way up, somebody I think is pretty enamored with the fan base. So people generally feel really warmly about Danny Jansen. Scott, before we get into some of the details, I must ask you, why Danny Jansen? I give you a 40 men to pick from, and you zeroed in on Jano. Why is that?
He is such a rarity with this organization because he has been developed within the system, and that there's just not a lot of that outside of Cavan and Bichette and Vladdy, right? Like those four are the guys that if you were trudging through 2017 and 2018, that was the hope. That was the light at the end of the tunnel. He was the first one called up of those four guys, you know, and he's been in the system since 2013. So here we are 11 years later and he is still there. And honestly, I just love dudes that had to struggle to get where they're at. And that is Danny Jansen to a T. When his offense would start to take off, he'd be a defensive nightmare at times, right? And he just really struggled calling a good game. And I know we were very lucky to have Joe Siddle on the podcast a couple of times. And one of the things that he really stressed is that he never felt like he could call a good game. Like he's like the amount of experience you need as a catcher in the big leagues to know every scenario that can be thrown your way. It takes a while to accumulate that experience. And Danny Jansen at 29 years old is finally there. Like, I'm so excited about Jano. And I think that when you gave me the option of everyone I could talk about, I was like, I want to talk about the guy that I'm excited about. So that's why I picked Jano. And again, just with the fact that Toronto actually developed him, like, we haven't really seen that much. It's good to see.
Yeah, I think some great insights there. Absolutely right. I think it's easy to forget because he is a guy that has been Rightfully lauded as like a pretty good game caller, a guy that does a pretty good job of managing the staff, and a guy that does, you know, the framing metrics are generally favorable for him. Mm-hmm. The blocking metrics are favorable for him. But on the way up, it was like, this guy is all bat. Can he stick? Will he have enough defensive? And then he gets here, and as is often the problem or the situation, he sort of struggled out of the gate in his career at the plate, right? Those of us who have been around remember him 207, like a 69 WRC plus in his first full year in 2019. And mm-hmm. I remember covering that team that year because they were the worst that team has been in so long, and bad enough that I got to be at the ballpark a lot as a member of the media and just sort of talking to people around the team and them sort of saying what you said is like, people don't realize how insanely hard it is to be a rookie catcher. It's just like, there's so much information. You have to know every pitcher on your staff. You have to know every hitter you're up against. You're constantly doing homework. And oh, by the way, you're also hitting major league pitching the red, like 4 to 5 times. It's like, you're doing the most hard thing on the side. It's like, that's the thing. That's your spare time that you have is on hitting. Everything else is knowing your pitcher's personalities, knowing what they throw, knowing when they should throw it, how to tell if they have their feel that day. There's a lot of different things that goes into it. And he really is a real success story in terms of development. I think a core guy, as you alluded to there, you know, it is quite rare to develop 4 starting players all in your infield. We're going to call Kavan a starting player for the sake of the analogy. Yes, in the sentence.
For the sake of this analogy.
I'm expounding. It's a little bit loud, but to develop 4 guys that you can put on that team, not every you know, franchise is able to match that timeline up so perfectly. So there is quite a bit of, let's say, excitement, but like justified special feeling around Jano and, you know, Bichette and Vladdy and to a lesser extent, Kavan as well. It's like they were developed here, but it was so fast because they were so talented. It was like, mm-hmm. what development really was there for Guerrero? It was like, get out of the way, sort of was the development. Jano was definitely a, like, we found a toolsy guy. Let's really put our efforts into this.
And I think that's why the fan base did fall in love with him, because he is a guy that overcame a lot of obstacles, right? Like, you kind of touched on it too, is that it's so difficult to be, because he came up as a bat, right? Mm-hmm. So he was uber focused on his defense, on learning how to call a good game, on learning the staff, on the blocking and the framing and everything that goes into catching. And then we watched, and I know I was guilty of it in 2021. It's like one of the rare times where I've fully turned on a player, where I was just like, how long do we need to watch this guy ground out to third or swing through a high fastball before we just cut him loose? Like, and this is literally how, like, I think if you go back, everyone will remember the April of 2021, where Jano, I think he still holds, like, maybe someone beat it, but close to the record for the longest stretch of at bats without getting a hit or getting on base. It was something ridiculous. Like, and I know you're probably doing the work right here for me, but I think it was like 35. I think it was 35 at bats without anything. Right. And so to go through that kind of struggle and then come out the other end, because this is something that I bring up quite often, people hate it, but Danny Jansen, if you just look at his last 162 games, and we will get to why there's a huge asterisk on this, but over his last 162, he's basically Marcus Semien. And I am not down, I'm not exaggerating, I'm not being, you know, crazy. Just the numbers are basically that. And like Semien, he's a guy that will just take the ball the other way and go to his strength, right? So the downfall, of course, and everyone watching this already knows what it is, the kid can't stay on the field. I think it's why he hasn't been extended yet. I mean,
sure,
you need 2 to tango. And if you're Danny Jansen, why do you want to tango right now? You know, like, you yeah. also want to beef up your numbers. And then if you're the Blue Jays, you're also like, well, let's see if he can even stay on the field, right? Like, the yeah. Jays have just been very lucky to have 2 such good catchers in Alejandro Kirk and Danny Jansen to kind of alleviate that injury proneness that has just plagued him his whole career.
Yeah, absolutely right. To put a fine point on it. It was 49 plate appearances, 2 hits in April of 2021. Oh, an 0.45 average he brought into the second month of the
season. And I was not being reasonable. I was like, get him out of the lineup.
You weren't alone. I mean, you weren't alone. We've seen a lot of guys not climb out of that hole. It's you know, they were lucky. 2021 is such a funny season to look back at. It's like there's so many things where it's like, man, two games and they're a playoff team with like the most dangerous offense you can imagine. One throw here from Marcus Semien, one better start from Danny Jansen, one good bullpen arm. The entire rotation would be
yeah. Imagine those 6 weeks where the bullpen was just a dumpster on fire, not having, like, even if just half the dumpster was on fire, we would have made the playoffs that year. Like, it was nightmarish.
It was incredible. But we digress. We've turned our focuses to the present day. Danny Jansen entering his age 29 season. He avoided arbitration last year, signed up for 5.2 through ARB 2. You mentioned the extension. Free agent in 2025. And I will say this offseason, this early spring, I think the Jansen extension, there was like 2 days where like every reporter on the team was like, we're going to write about the Danny Jansen extension possibility right now. It does seem like there is momentum or discussion about that around the team. That is for sure. And you mentioned the hit pick history, 16th round pick in 2023. You got a 16th round pick and you have him as a starting catcher. That's some decent development. Yeah. It's rare that a guy on this roster is not from this front office. This is a holdover from a different front office, believe it or not. 2013 is a long time to be at it. You mentioned some things. Let's talk about 2023 very quickly. 86 games, 301 plate appearances, a 228, 312, 474 split for 17 home runs. That's a 116 WRC plus. I think you knew that in your head probably. That's two WAR per Fangraphs, a 7.6 walk rate, a 20.6 K rate, both of those below league averages, plus framing, plus blocking. When you look at those 2023 numbers, how do you feel about Jano's 2023?
I feel good about him. Honestly, what's not to like outside of the fact of that 86 games played? And listen, I think every starting catcher with some DH, you know, if you've got a catcher who hits, you're still probably only going to get 120 out of him. So, you know, he's a lot closer to that number you want to see out of him. But even if you just go through the games played over the last couple of years, right? Like in 2022, he had 72 games played, 70 the year before that. 2020, he had 43. That's like the only season he's been healthy, and it was a 60-game season. So number-wise, I'm not concerned about Danny. I think that he really figured himself out and realized that, listen, some people can spray the ball all over the field and that can be their weapon, but that's not his weapon. His weapon is going the other way and showing power. And once he leaned into that in 2022, we really saw an increase in power. I mean, he career high last year was 17. And again, Danny Jansen, in my opinion, is a 25 home run hitter if he's healthy the whole year, right? Like if he's getting that 120 at bats and he's feeling good and he's not constantly needing to like, that's the other thing with these numbers is like half the time he's rehabbing his way back onto the team, you know, like he's still putting up these numbers, even though a third of the season he's been injured and needs to deal with the rigors and the mental stuff that goes into coming back from an injury, right?
Yeah. To list them off, last year alone, groin, forearm, wrist, hand, and finger injury throughout the course of that time. A miracle he hits it all with how much of that is hand and wrist and arm. Again, he's a catcher. You're going to get hit in the hand. You're going to get hit in the wrist. You're going to get hit in the forearm. But did toe the line between being very injured in last year and also being the healthiest he was in 4 years, as you point out.
Which is crazy. Curious what you think on this little thing. So we've been lucky enough to have Danny on the show a couple times, and we've talked to him about the fact he doesn't wear batting gloves. He doesn't wear, I mean, I was watching the spring training game today, and I mean, there were a couple of guys, they've got the full armor there. They're just taking balls off there and it's no big deal. And it's just like, when you watch a guy who has gone through the injuries that Danny Jansen has gone, and I understand baseball is all about feel, swing, your swing is all about feel, all of that stuff, right? So I don't wish to discount the fact that he's very comfortable the way he is. And we just talked about his numbers. His offense is good. But what do you think, my man? Do you think it's time he just starts like just protect your hands a little bit, dude?
Yeah, you would think some wrist stuff, like catching, because there's so many different ways to get hit, and he does seem like a guy who gets hit on the wrist by pitches a lot, and you're just like, ah, here it comes again. It's a delicate line, as you say. It's like he's also like just smashing the ball when he's up there, so you don't want to fiddle too much, but you want to keep him on the field. You want him to be a guy that can actually be there. I love the no batting gloves look in terms of aesthetics, mm-hmm. and I love the warrior. This guy is out of the 90s. Would play with no ear flaps on his helmet if you allowed him, sort of type.
Yeah.
Doesn't wear the hockey style catcher mask, which is a big one for me. very aesthetically forward, but I do think there is a measure of wanting to find that line, and I'm all for outside the box solutions to things as well. You haven't heard my I think this the screen was too bright. Last year, the new screen's too bright. That's why almost every player on the team hit worse at home. just a theory. Or the music was too loud in the balcony in right field. One of those two things. They could be true. I could be right. Reds and Blues on StatCast. Red is chase rate and whiff rate and barrels. Danny Barrels in full effect. Blue, walk rate, hard hit rate, and average velo. Those dropped from the year before. Pitch-specific stuff, he smashed off-speed last year. Plus 8 run value on sliders, plus 4 on changeup. Struggled a little bit against the fastball. Not worried about that one, though. He's always been a guy who hits slider. That's not new. That is something that he has had in the bag. Previously, the last 2 years, he was a positive fastball guy, so that feels more like noise than suddenly losing bat speed to me. And a little bit of you're constantly rehabbing yourself. The fastball is what they're going to throw you until you can prove that you can hit it. I think that's a fairly, I'm gleaning out observations from data, but that's the exercise that we undertake at times. Batted ball stuff, 50% plus pull side guy. When he puts the ball in the air, pull side, good things happen. All 17 of his home runs were pulled. A 398 pull side hitter. As I mentioned, Danny Barrels, the barrel rate above 10%, that is 4% above MLB average. Nothing crazy in the splits, but there is some interesting, if you wanted to throw some narrative stuff at it here. He's stronger righty-righty by a little bit, not anything to write home about, but 142 WRC plus in the second half. He came on strong. He was red hot in July. He hit 985 OPS with men on. He was a 114 WRC plus with runners in scoring position. And the big one, eye test sometimes matches the numbers. Yes. 152 WRC plus in high leverage. Danny Barrels hit some bombs last year when the team really needed it. I think that you talk about what endears people to an audience, a team that struggled with runners in scoring position and struggled to score big runs. Danny had some big hits last year when it mattered.
He really did. Do you believe in clutch?
Here's my overarching thought on all that stuff. Just because it's quantifiable doesn't mean it isn't true. That's sort of how I feel about things, right? Yes. People will say, well, you can't prove that this happens and this happens. And I was like, you also can't prove that it didn't, right? I know that things exist in those gray areas. And, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, are we talking about, do I believe in clutch as predictive? Probably not over the long term. Do I believe in clutch in a case-by-case scenario? Yeah, sometimes I do. I think there are situations. I think Justin Turner is a great example of a guy that, like, you give him an at-bat that isn't that important, he's going to go through the motions. You can see when Justin Turner is in a big at-bat that he locks in and takes things a little bit more seriously. Vice versa, you can see, I think George Springer is a great example of this last year, is a guy who is struggling, then comes up in a big clutch situation, and you get things like 12 of his 20 ground outs are on the first two pitches of the at-bats. Yep. And it's like, that's not clutch and not clutch. It is, though, carrying something that you're going through into a scenario that is important. So the long answer is yes, but, and the short answer is no, although.
Yes. No, I feel pretty much the exact same way. There are guys that I just would rather see at the plate in big moments But at the same time, even though George Springer last year was abysmal in clutch situations, he gets three clutch hits this season. And like all of a sudden that narrative is completely the opposite, right? Like, and this is the other thing too, is that sometimes the eye test does not match the numbers. And I constantly preach this on the podcast because we were getting comments last year, Vladdy is so not clutch. And I'm like, listen, the number says he's literally the most clutch guy on this team. So what are we talking about here? His batting average was .320 with runners in scoring position last year. He was the number one guy on the team. And like, it still wasn't enough because there's just, that's the thing with baseball.
Yes, 100%.
You're still going to fail in a big moment 2 out of 3 times, and you're still a stud, right? Like, it's just.
I think sometimes clutch and big moments get thrown together interchangeably. It's like Vladdy had a lot of he had a lot of hits, and as you said, performed fairly well in high leverage, performed fairly well in runners in scoring position situations. But there's nothing that comes to your mind that was like, remember when Vladdy did this? 100%. Whereas Jansen, there's like 3 or 4 where you're like, remember when they really fucking needed a home run and Jano was the guy that went and got it done? Remember when they were down 1 and Jano hit a 2-run bomb? Remember when they had just had a bad inning and they needed to bounce back and Jano was the guy who did it? Like, that sometimes gets conflated as how people define clutch. And I think we're probably similar, that we exist in the middle. I exist somewhere in the middle of like, I want the numbers, as you can sort of see, I spat all that stuff. I want it to not be how I see things, but I like it to sort of inform what I'm looking for and how I digest what I'm seeing.
I mean, if you look at big moments and season-saving moments, Danny Jansen truly was probably the top guy on this team last year, especially after they lost Lourdes Gurriel Jr., who seemed to be that guy in 2022 who, like, I don't know if you remember, but he got hot. It's kind of the same thing that happened to Jansen, right? He got on that, like, 3-week just... he carried the team and then got injured and derailed everything, right? Like, it's just, you know, it's not specific to Lourdes or to Danny. Everyone gets injured, but Danny definitely has had more than his fair share.
Something to be said for timing, that's for sure.
Yes.
We'll talk projections. Oh, I have the one other thing. He hit 6th through 8th mostly last year. Those were sort of his most common
places. You like him there? I like him there. I like him 6th.
I think so. I think you're having a guy I like. He's not necessarily an ambush hitter, but he's a guy that, like, you don't want them, the opposing pitchers, of course, to ever have like a moment of peace in your lineup. And I think if you're stacking him, I've heard a lot of talk about him being 4th, which is just sort of like leaning on the power tool quite a bit. I think he's a guy that works as a lower through the lineup, like, damn, I'm still not done sort of like guy. Like, now I got to face Jansen. I just got through all that. Now I got to do this too. It's a little bit more easy to do if the lineup ahead of him is as threatening as it should feel, right? If Springer is threatening and Vlad is threatening, it's a little different.
After I just told you I want him hitting 6th, I was one of those people last year being like, hit him 4th. Because, I mean, that's what happens when you just go into a season without a cleanup hitter. You eventually start going down the lineup and you're like, who can fill this hole, this giant gaping hole the front office left? But anyways, that's a whole other podcast for another time.
For what it's worth, I mean, he didn't hit there a ton, but he did do fairly well. Just 2 games, 9 at-bats, but 3 singles and a walk. Hit .333 in 2 games in the 4-hole. Not as much in 5th, but yeah, was a guy that hit 6th, 7th, 8th almost exclusively last year. Let's talk projections. I have said this many times on this show. I'll say it because it's your first time on here. I think there are 2 important things you can do with projections. Number 1, you can ignore them. Number 2, you can amalgamate them. Those are the 2 best things you can do with them. So let's take a look here. The range steamer has him at the lowest at .234, .314, .445. Good for a 108 WRC plus. Zips is the highest on him, .244, .327, .473 for a 119 WRC plus. That's a fairly wide range. Home runs, everybody agreeing it's mostly 17 to 18. The bat X, sort of an interesting one, has him in the middle of those 2 numbers, but has the highest wins above replacement because they love the defense bounce back next year. A lot of this is going to be dependent on games played, as you know. I think he was a 2-win guy last year. I think if he played a little bit more, he'd be 2.5. But the range from 1.8 Steamer being the lowest, and Zips and the Bat X at 2.5 and 2.7 respectively. How does a 240-ish, 315-ish, 450-ish, 111-ish WRC plus sort of hit your ears as a 10% better than league average hitter to 19% league average hitter?
Yeah. Listen, I would be thrilled with that. You had 110 games played and a 2.5 to 3 WAR, buddy. Like, sign me up every year for that. And I think if Danny can pull that off, he's going to get paid generously. He'll probably get a 3-4 year deal, and he'll probably be in that, you know, eight to I don't know projections very well with money, but 8 to 12 million a year range, right? Like, going into free agency at 29. It's what he wants. Like, it's what you want to pull off here. So yeah, I think those numbers are great. I would be so pleased to have Danny Jansen with those projection numbers. Where are you at? Like, what success to you in your eyes, I think, with Danny Jansen?
Yeah, I think who he was last year is who I want him to be. I think mm-hmm. when you get to, you know, there are special guys in the league. Prime George Springer or prime Joey Votto, guys great at everything, and they can hit the ball to all places and they can do all things. When you get past like that, that's what Vlad's supposed to be, right? All three fields, 40 home runs, amazing eye. Nobody, except for very few, get to be that. Bo Bichette's another one, right? It's insane plate coverage, can hit it all over the place. Everybody else has to sort of specialize. You have to sort of sacrifice one thing for another. I love the decision on Jano to be like, I'm a flat out pull and fucking elevate, celebrate guy. Let's hit the ball as hard and as hard as we can. And if that means that there are parts of my game that I don't get to have, if that means that my OBP is below 320, but the trade off is that I slug just below 500, that's the way it is. And
he tried so hard to be the complete guy. And you know what? There is some a tip of the hat that should be had to him for kind of acknowledging where he's at and what he needs to do to stay in the league and be a productive catcher with the Toronto Blue Jays. And he's found it. And now he just needs to find how to stay on the field.
Yes, absolutely. And the important side part of this is a great defensive catcher. I think he does an excellent job. There's again, I say it just because it's not quantifiable doesn't mean it isn't true. Mm-hmm. I find him to be somebody that does an excellent job of managing the personalities on the staff. He's a guy that knows when, this is such old man talk, but he knows when to go out to the mound. He knows mm-hmm. when to slow things down. He knows, like, a pitch calm sort of takes out a little bit of the game calling with a guy like Bassett. He wants to call his mm-hmm. own game, but he knows when to have a word. He knows when to have a hand on the back. He knows and even all that stuff.
When he was on the show, he called it baseball Spanish. He's like, because I asked him, I'm like, are you bilingual? He's like, no, but I'm baseball Spanish. So, like, he obviously is comfortable enough to go out to Jose Barrios and say a few things. And, like, they can kind of do their Spanglish talk back and forth or whatever, even though Jose speaks very good English. You know, like, it means something to be able to go out to there and just the guy's in panic and to be able to tell him in Spanish, like, just chill, bro. You know, like, sometimes that's all it is, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And especially when you have, they're lucky right now. They have a very veteran, pitching staff, which is excellent. But there's some guys, you're going to have guys in the bullpen. You're going to have guys coming up to fill roles. You're going to have guys that have been, that have not been in the space and not been in the place, where a guy like him, it's actually really important to have go out there and know when to take the breathers and be, you know, almost an extra coach out there. Okay, we've arrived at discourse. You are somebody of a popular show. You get comments, you get tweets, you get people tweeting at you during games. How do you think the fan base at large is feeling about Danny Jansen right now?
I think right now, people are kind of right where we're at, Zoobs, right? Where they're excited to see that he's kind of put his game together and they're hoping that he can stay healthy. I know we were kind of in a really weird spot going into free agency last year this time, right? When we had that three-headed monster at catcher with Gabriel Moreno and Alejandro Kirk winning Silver Slugger and just kind of like being thrust into the limelight. And Danny Jansen also you know, finding his swing and finding his power and still not being able to stay on the field. So the Jays had to make a decision, and I think it affected the way people viewed all three of them, because it's almost like, rather than be rational fans like we all should be, of course, we know that's not how fandom works. And so it felt like everyone was kind of picking their favorites and it maybe found reasons as to why the other ones had weaknesses and stuff. And I think there's reminiscences of that still attached to guys like Kirk and Jansen since that Moreno trade. But I do think it's subsiding. And I think if you were to just ask me, is it a positive or a negative view of Danny Jansen by the fan base, I would say positive.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think I can sum it up. To me, it's like when they're playing a big game, I want him to be the starting catcher. I just sort of like, I love Alejandro Kirk. I think he has some great features and qualities. I want the safety of like, Jano is catching and hitting eighth, and there's a chance that he goes 1-for-4 and hits a home run in the seventh inning. I know that's very specific, but that's just sort of how I view about him. A guy that, you know, you just feel safe in his hands, which I think is the number one thing that I want in a catcher. The extra stuff is all gravy. He just is a very comforting presence back there for me.
He's seen a lot of shit, right? There's something to be said for that.
We'll move into force a comp. You can take this however you want. I know I give you less prep time than everybody else. Forcing a comp, anything Danny Jansen reminds you of, be playing style, the vibe, the space on the team, look, anything it could possibly be. I will say something funny. I tend to try to find something, a hook on these, and just going through his batted ball profile on StatCast, they have like similar batters. One of them is 2022 Pete Alonso. Isn't that crazy?
Wow, that is crazy.
Just in terms of the barrel rates and the pull rates and just like being a sellout power guy, he low-key has 2022 Pete Alonso's batted ball profile.
That's unreal. The force of comp, I mean, this is really goofy and really not baseball related, but if you just put on a red and white striped toque on him and put him in a crowd and tell people to find him, I mean, he's got a very much a Where's Waldo vibe to him with those glasses and his boyish charm. So
this is why you branch out from just stat nerds to get insights like that, to get the Where's Waldo comp.
That's right.
I love it, because I've struggled with this. He is sort of a unique cat.
And honestly, my man, if I had a little more time, I would have found something.
I understand.
My head, I don't know. Really.
Listen, I understand absolutely fully. I talked about, it's so funny, I can almost reverse it, as I talked about Dalton Varsho with Chris Black, and his comp for Varsho was left-handed Danny Jansen.
Ooh, I like that.
If you look at the rates, if you look at the numbers, nobody appreciates the how good Varsho is at base running and defense. When Jano is struggling, you at least have the elite catching tools.
Yeah.
I think it's a neat little one, and it's sort of they're nice mirrors of each other, where like a lot of people have grown to love Jansen in spite of some of the cold spells, and a lot of people are still very negative on Varsho because he hasn't had the sort of run of hot play that I think would endear him to the fan base very easily. So it goes. I'm stealing one there, but that's a good one.
Well, I like it.
Also, the baseball reference has Chris Iannetta as his number one, but I think he's a better hitter than Chris. I think he's a better hitter than Chris Iannetta ever was. Catchers are difficult, man. It's not the what you expect and what makes a catcher valuable as a hitter is so different than every other position. It's like, it's really hard to find comps. Chris Iannetta, Jonah Heim, Sean Murphy, Carson Kelly, Mickey Tettleton, if you want to go old school. Sal Fasano is a fun name in there. Ramon Castro, Doug Mirabelli, Devin Mesoraco. We're underselling how good Danny is at hitting fastballs deep. Anyway, 2024 outlook. We've gone through projections. We've gone through vibe. We've gone through feeling. What is your thought on what 2024 will bring for Danny Jansen?
I think Danny Jansen's going to hit over 20 home runs this year for the first time in his career. I think that his power numbers are going to be top three catching offensive numbers in the American League. I think Adley Rutschman's going to run away with that stat. But outside of Adley, I really think Danny could be the next best offensive catcher in the American League. And I think the fact that he's so proficient when it comes to calling a game and his defense, it's just going to put him in that upper echelon of catcher. He's one of those guys where I don't think he's ever going to get his flowers, no matter what he does. Like, there's just enough holes in his game where I don't think he's ever going to be that, like, top guy where people are like, okay, we're going to name the top five catchers in baseball and Danny Jansen's right there. But I think that there'll be top 10 lists where he's in at number seven and people are like, oh yeah, Danny Jansen. That's right. He does bang, right? Like he's there. I think one thing about Danny Jansen too, that this is just off the top of my head, but I mean, the guy's been in the league a long time already. Like He came up in 2018 is when he made his debut, right? So yeah. We're at 6 years. I mean, this kid's going to have a 10-year plus career. Like, he's just going to. I mean, barring, knock on all the wood, any horrible injury that ends a career, I mean, he's got four more years in him. And do you know how often a guy plays 10 years of catching in the majors? It's not that often. So he's already, you know, above the average that way.
Yeah, it's sometimes you have to reframe what makes a great career. I agree with that. So totally is you heap expectations on him. And it's like, man, if you pick a guy in the 16th round and he plays 10 years in the bigs, that's a miracle of development. Yeah. I'm right there with you. I think Danny's, I want to believe in, listen, I have put out Danny Jansen breakout year or Danny Jansen as, you know, an all-star candidate. I look at Jonah Heim last year, who was 18 home runs. The splits are very similar. He got a huge defensive boost because he was a very good defensive player. But like Jano was a better hitter than him last year. And Jano was a guy that's been in gold
glove. Played less.
Yeah, exactly right. He played 50 less games than Jonah Heim. I think if you play out, you know, and obviously Jonah Heim doesn't have Alejandro Kirk splitting time with him, but I digress. If you play out amount of plate appearances for Danny Jansen, I think you have a much better offensive player. And a guy who, I mean, Jonah Heim racks up 4 wins per Fangraphs last year, 3.5 or 3 for Baseball Reference. I think Jano does that easily and is somebody that is, you know, when you're talking about all-stars and catchers, and you're exactly right. I think Rutschman is right there. I don't see why it can't be Jansen too. I sort of believe in that.
I mean, really, I truly do believe that the catching position for the Toronto Blue Jays in 2024 is going to be a far greater advantage than people are maybe giving it credit for right now. People forget what a dynamite duo those two were in 2022 because they both had such mediocre years last year. And I mean, I can sit here and make excuses for them all day long and talk about the fact that Kirk didn't get his spring training in like he did with his kid coming in, and Jano had all those injuries and freak injuries on top of it, which would just add to the frustration he's going through. I can imagine when you constantly are on the IL, it rips you apart, you know? Like, I remember we had Tim Mays on the show. This was years ago, right after he had come back from Tommy John surgery. And it was really eye-opening listening to him talk about how mentally stressful and frustrating it is, right? Like just the side of the game where you're like, you're isolated and your team's not around. And he even brought up Danny Jansen as a guy. He's like, the only guy who was checking in on me all the time was Jano, which says something about him as a catcher as well, right? I mean, obviously there's relationships and stuff outside of baseball. And I know Tim and Danny are very close as it is, but you know what? That Danny's taking time out of his day to call his bullpen pitchers that aren't around. Like, man, there's some leadership there. Something that maybe he doesn't get touted for enough. Anyways, I could pump Danny Jansen's tires all day long.
Put the C on the jersey. He's the captain.
That's right. I'm with it.
One of my other comps was, it doesn't make sense statistically, but I do get a little bit of Russell Martin from him as well in that very same way where it was like the team didn't win at all. And then all of a sudden Russell Martin showed up and all the pitchers were better and everybody was better at everything. And the team just seemed a little bit more organized and everyone was a little bit happier. I get a little bit of that from him, and this nice little crossover there at the end of one career and the beginning of the other. Bigger picture, I think we talked about it. I'm looking for a Jano extension, maybe even before spring is out. I think it's something that the front office is interested in.
I'd be so into that.
As you said, though, you just like to see, give me 100 games in a year. Just play 100 games, play 100 games and hit 20 home runs. And then we're all absolutely dancing to give you.
Be healthy until the All-Star game and then sign a contract.
Yeah. 355. Who's saying no? It's a little heavy. 350, whatever it may be.
A little heavy. 455. There you go.
Whatever. 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 So bigger picture, I think we're aligned on that, right? We want to see Jano be a part of this. I mean, secretly out loud, the entire thing is built to self-destruct after 2025 if it has to. Not a secret, but it just so happens that all the contracts end at that year, except George Springer, 36-year-old George Springer is the only player in 2026. There's a show I can't wait to watch. But it would be nice to get one of the leaders locked up. I think we're aligned. Okay. That's the whole exercise, dude. That's it.
Man, this Scott, is so much fun. Thank you for having me, my man.
Yeah, we've got to get you on a little less structured. This is a little more, we'll free flow. I would love to dig more into the comedy scene at some point and sort of... I need you to walk me to just talk me down to like it's fine that you're not out here. It's good. You don't want to be. Well, I pray
it's
that
fine.
Assure me, there are bald white guys out there still doing it, right?
It's funny since you stopped going out as much, you know, like there's a real hole in the market for bald white guys. Throw on a flannel shirt. Crowds won't know what hit them.
I know. Anyway, Scott, quick, you're entertainment industry. So throw some plugs out, let people know where they can find you. Talk about the show a little bit, talk about the touring. I know you got a lot coming up, so let it rip.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. So I'm actually just got into Halifax tonight. So I'm in Nova Scotia for the next 10 days. Check the links, guys. I'm going to be at Sober Island Brewing. I'm up in Cape Breton at Breton Brewing. And I'm in New Glasgow next Friday at the Shoebox. All of them are selling tickets online. If I wasn't so frazzled, I would just blah all this out there. But if you're in Nova Scotia, check it out. And the walk-off, okay? If you haven't heard of it, we're a couple of bumbling comics. Probably don't know as much about baseball as we should, but we've gotten very lucky with the guests that we've had on the show, Zoobs included. We've had a bunch of the Sportsnet guys take time out of their day to join us. We've had Mark Shapiro, president of the Blue Jays, come on the show. John Gibbons. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous who we've had on the show for a couple of idiots. So if you haven't seen it, check it out. We're on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts.
I should call up Mark Shapiro. That's my... Which player does he want to go through? Sit. Join the show. No, thank you. Scott, I know you're a very busy guy, and I really appreciate the time out of the day to come and join me here and talk about Danny Jansen. Thank you so much.
Anytime, my friend. Absolutely. Cheers.
And yes, as always, a reminder, if you're looking for more 40 and 30, you can find every episode, every single player, all 40 profiles available on the Less Than Jays Patreon, patreon.com/lessthanjays. The $9 tier gets you absolutely everything. The $5 tier gets you all these timeline episodes you hear and the regular episodes with Jake and I a little bit longer and extended. And you get the 40 and 30s early. You get them at midnight the night before, or sometimes even days before. All of that is available. Patreon.com/lessthanjays. We will see you soon. Lots of interviews banked. Lots more players to go. Spring training is over in like 2 weeks. So we got a lot to get to. We're going to speed it up and get to it. Thank you so much, as always, for being a part of Less Than Jays.